I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Benghazi, the capital of resistance against the Gaddafi regime, now outlawed by all civilized states, including, of course, most importantly, the guys with the guns. That would be NATO, backed up by the United States. Many important developments over the last 24 hours. And Marlowe of the Hudson Institute is in Benghazi, a seaside city of 750,000 before the turmoil. And today, it is the centerpiece of much activity, diplomatic and at the same time cultural. And a very good evening to you and greetings in Benghazi. I want to begin with news items that we've had today in the West and your interpretation from the press conference you've just attended in Benghazi. First, the International Contact Group, according to the Italian Foreign Minister Franco Frattini, has authorized arming of the Libyan resistance, self-defense of the rebel opposition, as it calls. Can you confirm that the contact group has authorized arming of the free people of Libya, and are the arms en route to them?
Well, the latter I do not know. I can say that I was present when Al Jazeera aired the announcement from the contact group. I was watching, and then a few hours later, the spokesman, Mr. Goga, the spokesman for the Transitional Council, confirmed and indeed was extremely happy about that announcement. He reiterated that it was only in self-defense and that if Gaddafi had respected the terms of the ceasefire and not attacked civilians in the Western Mountains and in Misrata, there would be no need for this. Now, I have my own take on the situation, which is that the Transitional Council may be bluffing. In other words, hoping that the fact that purchasing arms has been allowed is going to bring Gaddafi either to resign or to be resigned, or will at any rate lead to a better negotiated settlement than the non-starter deal offered by the African Union 2 days ago. On Monday, the Transitional Council rejected an Union proposal, which was essentially a Gaddafi proposal, which involved his family remaining in Libya. That is not acceptable to the Transitional Council.
I'm speaking with Anne Marlowe. She's in Benghazi. And we also have a Reuters report that says that the rebel resistance, the free people of Libya, are bartering crude oil at eastern ports of the country for food and fuel. Can you comment on the idea that there is a food or a fuel shortage in Benghazi, in Cyrenaica, or in the resistance cities?
Basically, yes. In Misrata, there is a problem. They're running short on drinking water and on food and fuel, but absolutely not in Benghazi.
All right. And finally, Anne, in attending the press conference, and it was held by the Transitional National Council, did they bring forward a counterproposal? Can you comment on their response to the African Union?
Well, they were adamantly opposed to the African Union plan, not only because the content of the plan involved Gaddafi negotiating a transfer of power, perhaps to his son. They say they will. This is not negotiable. They will not negotiate with Gaddafi about the future form of the Libyan government. He does not have the right to have any voice in determining the future government of Libya. Mohammed is going to talk to this as well. But basically, another problem with the African Union proposal was who it came from. Some of the same countries that are supplying mercenaries to Gaddafi's forces. There was a general from Mali in the group, and it's rumored that there are substantial numbers of soldiers from Mali who actually were given Libyan passports by Gaddafi in the last couple of years as a reward for serving in the Libyan armed forces.
Finally, Anne, before I speak with the prince, We have reports today of American jets striking Gaddafi forces. Was that confirmed in the press conference that the Americans are back in action in close ground support?
No, that is a fascinating report, but unfortunately, that came in as the press conference was ending. You know, even if people had that on hand at the time, no one was able to ask the question. That remains a very tantalizing morsel to chew on.
Right. I'm speaking with Anne Marlow of the Hudson Institute, and I'm now going to speak to Prince Mohammed Hilal El-Sanoussi. Mohammed has traveled overland from Egypt to his native land, Libya. Mohammed lives in Egypt, and he travels widely in Europe. His family, several hundred years of cooperation and leadership in Libya. Mohammed, a very good evening to you. Have you joined me?
Hello.
Hello, Mohammed. Thank you very much. Anne has commented on the press conference. I'd like you to review what you believe was significant by the Transitional National Council and what developments are fresh and important to you.
What was really important to me that the Council of the 20 in Doha delivered a very strong message, and while they were giving their final statement, while they're going through it, actually, there was breaking news of NATO making two strikes in Tripoli, which was clearly a very strong message to Gaddafi that if he does not stop bombing and shelling civilians, he will face tougher measures from NATO. I think that has been settled.
The situation, how is the situation for the Transitional National Council? Have they settled on a leadership on the panel? Are they now comfortable with the fact that they're the acting government for the resistance?
Well, it's not really exactly an acting government. It's still a transitional council now. What the gain they got today was that they will be given defensive weapons. That it has been said that in Article 190, the resolution provided that they should get weapons to defend themselves. So that's how they read it, or that's how they said it. It reads. And I don't know exactly what do they mean by defensive weapons, but at least maybe they would have weapons to protect themselves against the heavy armament of Gaddafi instead of having the ragtag forces they have right now.
Was there any mention of aircraft or armor to the resistance?
No, there was no mention of a detailed mention of weaponry. All they said was defensive weapons. I doubt that there will be aircraft, because aircraft would be considered offensive, and they cannot give them aircraft with a no-fly zone action in operation.
Mohammed, you have traveled. You were in Benghazi in early March before NATO entered. And now you've returned and you've been there several days. Is there a notable improvement in the morale and in the strength of the resistance in Benghazi?
Yeah, well, they're picking up momentum. They haven't given up. They're more confident that they will overcome the regime of Gaddafi. What they are really looking for is to get a ceasefire that would include stoppage of all hostilities, plus Gaddafi moving out of all the cities he occupies and moving his troops that surround cities and allowing Libyan people in those cities to express themselves freely. So I think that in the next week or so, we will see tougher air attacks from NATO.
Good.
To deliver a certain message. So I think that next week we shall see NATO inflicting great damage to his troops to bring him ceasefire and a withdrawal of all his troops and a way out.
Anne Marlow of the Hudson Institute with Prince Mohammed Hilal El-Sanoussi. They're in Benghazi in an internet cafe. You can hear the excitement behind them. The important details are that the Transitional National Council enjoys the embrace of the contact group at Doha and a promise of a supply of defensive weapons. Right now, the standoff continues in the country of Libya. NATO is in action, and there are confirmed reports of NATO strikes at Tripoli. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.